Welcome to the Inspire Wedding Show podcast. This podcast is brought to you today by Tanera Lux Floral.
Join us as we talk with top wedding industry influencers and event professionals, learning about what they are contributing to their craft.
We, as the curators of the Inspire Wedding and Lifestyle Show, are ready to dive into what's going on this week in the wedding and event world.
He is Stephen Baradesca.
And she is Tanera Haney.
And this is Inspire. Well, hello, 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 Stephen.
Good afternoon, Miss Tanera. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, and it just got lively in here.
It did. You know, hearing the end of that, our intro music sometimes gets you tapping your toe.
It really does, but I think it's more about the guest today because, you know,
that too.
He's one of my personal favorites, and it is always a positive experience when
without
I'm around
a doubt.
X.
Anybody that follows our podcast or watches at all knows that he was in our pilot episode. So guinea pig and or celeb, which you call it what you will, and we are thrilled we're thrilled to have him back in our makeshift studio.
Welcome,
DJ X. Good to see you.
Pleasure. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Hanging in there. How about you?
Pretty good. Okay. Same. Right. I know things are a little different, but we're good.
Yeah, you know? they are a little bit different. And gosh, I know you learned a lot about yourself this last year. How was that? And what was going on with all of that learning?
I put a lot of personal, I guess, mantras and beliefs to the test. Like whether or not I had it in me to be, to diversify and to be diverse and to not quit. Like I know people are familiar with me being, you know, a DJ, but kind of telling myself it's okay to try some other things and be open with those things. And that's what I've been doing for literally the past years, honing some skills that I've kind of had in the background, liked, not going to lie, loved secretly. don't tell my wife.
hey, she's listening, most likely.
You're right. So, man, telling myself, right? So,
yeah.
Leaning on those things, and they've kind of opened some doors and some new passions and some new inspirations.
That's cool.
Well, as you can imagine, the elephant in the room is that we're talking about, obviously, time in the pandemic. And because of who we are in Inspire and all that we do, we have a lot to do with weddings and events. And as you all know, DJ Xavier does just that. So we're trying to find out really what he's done in ways that cause different kinds of moves in his life. And one thing we don't normally talk about is the name of our podcast, but today is Cooking Up the Moves with
DJ X.
Which
I think is so apropos.
And you will know what all those words mean before this is over. So our first section is about moves. So, you know, learning more about yourself, kind of what have you done with downtime? Have you taken on any regimens or anything like that as well?
I picked up some new skills through YouTube. I bought a lot of power tools through the downtime.
Okay. little Tim Allen grunt.
Yeah.
Did you build anything cool?
Relayed the floor. It's funny. So after I leave here, I'm going to Home Depot and getting some cinder blocks to build something else. But relayed floor in the man cave. Did some more painting. I set up. I'm such a nerd. I set up pretty much what I call my main hub for control. So it's pretty much a few monitors with consoles attached and pretty much a live stream setup. So whether I want to be visually seen or what I'm doing on a computer screen, I want to share. I'm completely set up to kind of get that out there without, you know, moving.
That's great.
It's a whole little nerd room.
Yeah, but you know what, though? One of my favorite things about your playlist, and of course we were all listening to one of your playlists probably like 2 weeks ago. I think it was at one of our local venues. And we were talking about you when you weren't there. But we are actually, you're such a good friend of ours. It was always going to be good. But I was listening to the songs, and everything that you do is so curated. And it just shows me what an art form you really have for,
you know,
doing events. And so does that thing that you set up, like where you, are you playing music through that?
All day long. So everything I do is inspired by music for sure. But I have a strong belief in doing things on purpose.
Okay.
So even when I come to curating a playlist, the first song sets the notes for the last song and all 48 songs in between. Like, they matter. Like, where they go matter. how they end and all, everything, it has to matter. You can't just, you know, go about things, you know, willy-dilly. You have to have some purpose in what you do. So I think that comes from, you know, being on purpose. Like,
yeah,
I didn't
intentional.
Just, yeah, intentional. Very intentional about what I do. Because it matters, you know.
Yeah.
People are going to take the time to listen, thank you, download, make sure it's your absolute best.
Well, I've just been to other events, and it's, again, no shade. It's playlist A, playlist B, and I love that you just go for it and dive in and get all of the feels from what the couple loves.
Right.
But this was do you remember that playlist we were listening
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely.
It was
sure
just
do.
So different.
Diversified and in-depth. Thanks. I love the fact that, you know, when you start looking at music, it's in such mass amounts that we have access to these days that
mm-hmm.
I really do begin to see it like almost like an artist palette.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, as you start Man. To get your theme and your vibe or whatever you got going, you can pull these different nuances and these different shades, if you will, as to how that's going to be. In my world, which usually consists of small little house parties.
I got to interrupt. In your world, it was called the mixtape.
Yes. In my, yes, when I was young, yes, 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 yes. And that'll go in the buzzwords because that'll make people look us up. So, but what I was talking about is as simply as like some, just a home party or whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
a rehearsal dinner or a little something, something, I start thinking about a genre that I like. And then I start letting some of the platforms kind of make suggestions,
mm-hmm.
much like you told us in your first pilot episode about how you look everywhere. And it really is a thing. Like, it really is something that flavors what you're doing. And there's many a time, I know Tanera loves a playlist at a party because it just has, there's a message. And it really does make the room and the ambiance just feel
mm-hmm.
better. Like, I've noticed if the playlist ever quits, I'm always like, what happened?
What's next? Right? I want more.
Get that playing again. You know, get that moving. So.
Definitely a thing. Well, I got to ask you. I got to ask the hard questions. You
mm-hmm.
know, they put me on doing that. But, I mean, what was the struggle like this past pandemic year? And, you know, I know everybody talks about what we pivoted, but... Was that tough for you?
It was. We talk about going from, I'm booked every weekend. That's a thing. You know, I'm very blessed when it comes to that. Every weekend to literally nothing for 6 months. And those nothings weren't because, you know, those were contracted dates. So now we have to talk about moving 6 months worth of work that probably 80% hasn't finished paying on the contract.
Ugh.
And rescheduling them for dates that would be booked up for someone else. So it's kind of a double loss, per se. That was tough. The mental part first was like accepting, like, I'm not going to, no cap. I was a little like down at first, like, because one, I like to move. Like,
yeah.
So now all my movement has, I'm not meeting with brides anymore. I can't go anywhere. Like, can't even go to the store just about. And we're talking about my number one source of income has just come to a complete halt. So mentally, I had to accept that, like, things are going to be different. And one, it's not my fault. You kind of go into, I know for me at least, like, because I'm always trying to be in control, what can I do different to make, like, or what did I do or what can I do to, like, this can't be. You know, I'm a married man. And, you know, again, it's a mental battle. It was a
yeah.
lot of talking to myself and a lot of, honestly, prayer and just, like, really leaning and digging deep mentally and spiritually, like, what are we going to do? Which leads me back to, hey, bro, you've always been a proponent of you can't quit. So that's where we're going to start. We're not going to start the whole selling gear just because we lost, you know, a lot of gigs. A lot of DJs are like, I'm selling gear. I'm not selling anything. I went into, honestly, the first month, I went in acquisition. I started buying. I bought more gear than I've ever bought. I don't want to put a number value, but I bought a lot of gear.
You invested in
I invested.
You.
I went hard.
Yeah.
I went hard for a time to where you hear everything has come to a complete stop and we don't know when. I was kind of, you know, my wife works in corporate America, so I was kind of leaning on her calendar to when things were going to, you know, kind of stop. We're talking about, she heard like 12 dates, you know what I mean? Through that. So I'm thinking like, yeah, we're 3 months. Okay. Six more months. All right. You know, things are... It's constantly changing, and I just invested thousands of dollars into being able to, you know, be social,
yeah.
for lack of a better word. So it was a little tough, but there was always a little hope every day that I told myself that we're going to keep going. So,
well, and to delve deeper into, you know, what we're dealing with DJs, you know, these events are being halted. People can't gather. And then as it began to open up lightly, you know, we still, events were not, and restrictions. And then, I mean, seriously, dancing was considered, almost looked upon like irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're responsible for, is that, right, that dance floor. And right. So as it's opening up, to tell us kind of what your thought process was about how are you going to tackle, because that's an individual hurdle,
right, right,
for your business.
I had to be, you know, DJs get a rap for being kind of irresponsible and kind of the, you know, we're rowdy, we're party, we start the party, right?
Yeah.
So that's important to me. I'm not going to say this, not, I'm a DJ. That's why I do it. I love the riffraff, but I'm a business owner. So I have to be mindful of what's important. You know, I have insurance policies and things of that nature. So I have to follow rules. You know, there are guidelines. So with that in mind, I have to lean on, I'm a DJ. The dance floor is important, and it is an aspect of a wedding for sure. But in a time where we can't dance, you guys talked about, you know, the playlist earlier. That's when I have to, all right, you can't dance, but I can still get your attention and make the event still pleasurable with the tools that I've been given.
Yeah.
So even though people can dance, I still paid attention to who's tapping their floor and the flow of conversation. It's crazy. So during those, the few engagements that weren't canceled, and, you know, even though they were, you know, kind of shrunk down to, you know, 30, 40 people, guests would still come up and I would get the same, you know, reaction. No dance, but man, I enjoyed the music. So for me, I still got the gratification of fulfillment of, you know, delivering as a DJ, but it was a little different. Not, you know, if we're there for 5 hours and usually 3 of those hours I got you on the dance floor, not seeing anything other than the first dances. And in some places, the first dances was not allowed. I'm not going to say which places. We figured a way to do the first, because that's important.
It is.
And I believe for a couple, they're going to be together anyway. So we found a way for them to do the first dance and not for us to break the rules of the establishment, so to speak. So,
well, props to you for getting a broad thought on that.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like it's real easy to be poor me and I can't have my dance floor, what I need to do. So you decided to truly take a good look at it, find new ways, and buy stuff. So, I mean, that to me is...
That's
is...
called zigging and zag. You're zagging while they're zigging, and it's, yeah. It's that's like how buying, you're supposed to do in business.
It's like buying a house when you know a couple's getting divorced. It's like, it's going to be a great value. Hate the hardship, but I'm going to do what
right,
I can
right,
for
right,
me.
Right, right.
You know? So, and you did that. Took advantage
right, I've
of
I've always, yeah. It, all the, I'm a big history buff too, but most of the, you know, the founding fathers, billionaires, most of them became those household names during times of hardship.
That's
so,
right.
War, economic downside. Even there are luxury brands that we're familiar with today, a lot of them will say even during those times of recession, they weren't going to change the price. Like, the value of a product is the value of the product. It's up to the person who's responsible for that product to hold its value. So I kind of, you know, held on to those things too. Like, again, we're not going to quit this thing and we're going to still remain valuable.
It's You're just, still sticking around. And sticking
yeah.
around sometimes is the it's the win. I mean, cause
just
a lot
don't
of,
quit.
Yeah, just don't quit. That's
Sounds
it.
Like he took the Cadillac approach.
Yeah.
When they had all that hardship and several of the other car companies decided to slash their prices and just mm-hmm. make things more attainable for a lower end. Cadillac said, we're holding strong. And they are in a phenomenal brand that has remained
to this day
and with
the premier
unwavering.
GM
so get hashtag Cadillac there,
yeah.
DJ. Good for you. That's
Thank
fantastic.
You.
Well, what's the planning season looking like coming up? Are the floodgates opening?
So they are. So I had a lot of I got some of the best brides in the world.
You do. You're kind of popular.
Like,
you're kind of famous.
Thanks.
You are.
it's the people. Like, I am a product of the people, I like to say. Like, you can only get so far as what people, you know, push you to be in my world. So I'm thankful for that. But all my brides have been understanding, even with, like, I've kind of had to have some tough conversations. That's one thing that that I've learned that, you know, in this time, you got to have some of those tough conversations. There's no shortchanging it. You just have to deliver it how it's supposed to be delivered. So with that, a lot of brides are understanding that it's not going to be me for their second, third, even I've had some dates scheduled 5-6 times. It might not be me. It might be one of my other DJs. So, again, thankful that brides are understanding that, hey, we all had to make some adjustments, and we're just going to take it as it comes. So I'm so thankful for that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
So planning is has been kind of a breeze, really. It's just I know that looking at it honestly, we're probably not going to be back to where we were in, say, profit for probably another season or so. But I think we're good.
Well, with you guys having a team, which is so great, did the clients truly understand that the dates are like your real estate?
Right.
And I love that you said, you know, you book these events sometimes twice. Did they realize or recognize that those were weekends that you normally brought in money and now you were rebooking them on another potential weekend that you could have worked again, but only had one for every 2 weekends?
Right, right.
That cut your income in half.
Right.
You don't have to be a mathematician to figure
find that out.
That.
Right, 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 right.
When the calendar is your real estate,
it is.
There's only
it,
so many
it
days.
It really
you know?
Is. I think during this time, even for myself, I used to could give, the majority of my gigs were booked 13 months out in advance. So I still had some leeway there with some brides. So I wasn't so heart stuck on, hey, once I send a quote, you got 7 days to get it back. Or something.
Oh, wow.
So I would give, you know, sometimes 14 days on a quote, not even a contract, just on a quote for a date. I learned during this time, I can't do that.
No.
Like, that's, are you crazy? Like, no, bro, you can't do that at all. So I've tightened up a bit. Lessons that I had to learn, I've learned. So I'm trying to be optimistic about, because, again, we can't control any of it. So I learned a lot of probably business principles that I should have held on tighter to starting, but I learned them before too late, I'd say. So
I think so, too. I did, too.
I was going to say, every single vendor, I think, in the wedding industry has some contract additions through all this, just learning more about how to act and what to do and what's just to make it fair for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about the client that you're dealing with. And let's do a little bit of a compare and a contrast with a pre-COVID client versus a post-COVID client. And let me put it in there. I don't mean post by saying it's over.
Right.
They've had some COVID experience that's flavored who they are. So give us a bit of that comparison of pre versus post.
The biggest and most apparent change, I would say, is the number size, like the size of the events. Before COVID, you know, you can have as many guests as you'd like.
Sure.
Now, a lot of the, I think who it's hurting the most would be the millennials who are getting married, who want to have that uber big party experience. Now they really have to think about their guest list and really dive into just really like, it, everybody's important, you invite, but just your, you know, like your family just about. So that's changed the dynamic of, I don't know, I want to say how much party we can have, but how much party we can have, truly,
yeah.
Because now a lot of personalities that would have been there aren't, and a lot of the people who would have been able to, you know, hide, so to speak, in the crowd can't. So post-COVID brides are a little bit more conservative, for sure, because now there people are, you know, when it first started, people were testing the waters. Like, people, when it first started, even with the bands and the masks, people, I did a couple gigs where I had to shower 2-3 times before, you know, being able to sleep in the room with Babe, you know? Like, we're talking about, man, y'all ain't watching the news. it's crazy. but for me, it's like, this is what I do, and I have a contractual obligation. It's crazy. Kind of off subject. I did a wedding this past weekend. A DJ left 10 brides hanging because he does not want to adhere to the mask mandate. Crazy.
Oh.
Right? So.
Yes.
Insane. So, in business, you can't really bring your personal, political, any of those to the, you can't really bring those into the table, or you're not supposed to, because everything has to be, you know, fair, so to speak, right? So, mm-hmm. I think for, you know, at first, people didn't take it so serious, is the point I'm trying to make. But as time progressed and people start seeing that, you can get sick, like you as a person can get sick, and your people that you're so close to have gotten sick, they've taken it more serious. So now people are making sure we're sanitizing, and not everybody's running up to the DJ booth, and a lot of just customary things are changing. You know, not a lot of people are standing around the cake table before things get started, you know, just things are different.
It's really changed.
Yeah,
I wonder if quality of time at the event like that can be improved because of the extraneous guest list being lost.
Efficiency.
That's what I'm saying. And I feel like it could possibly be better if they, you know, really invite those closer to them. So many times, Xavier, I've heard people that have gone to an event that are like, I never even really got to talk to the bride or groom.
Right.
Because there was 400 people there. Right. And, you know, I wondered if that might end with this pandemic. And I thought that could actually not be a terrible thing.
Right, right, right. I believe so, too. I think the people who want to be close definitely took advantage of being able to be close. Like the wedding that I just did, speaking of, they were slated to have, I think, like 175 guests, decent sized wedding. We're down to 45.
Okay.
Yeah, we're down to 45. So everybody who was there was literally family. And I don't think a little bit of dancing took place as like later than it usually would. Mainly because a lot of talking was taking place. Like, everybody was
talking.
Oh, my God.
How
novel.
Yeah. How novel. Yeah. I love it.
There weren't many, man. And it wasn't because, like, everybody there was, you know, older. There wasn't a lot of cell phones out. There was a lot of, that's the biggest change. Post-COVID, not that it's over. A lot more personal interaction is taking place at the event, which is a godsend.
Like, yeah.
I can get your attention now.
Absolutely.
Well, oddly enough, Tenere has always been a component of a smaller event. I know here at Tenere Lux, we've always done large events. We've always done all kinds.
It's gotten crazy.
Just making it where it is at a level that you can truly enjoy each person.
Right.
You know, and of course, we're a luxury company, so we still want to see the decor be amazing. We still want to see it look and feel fantastic. But why not for 100 people instead of 400?
Right.
Because it wears the bride and the groom out. Tired. It wears the hosts out.
Give 100 people the experience of a lifetime.
Of a lifetime.
Versus 400 with a mediocrity. You know, a mediocrity.
Right. It was just big. That's the thing that you can say. It was big. Like, yeah. No.
It's like the mall of weddings. I don't know. I just, you know.
And think about, you know, and even in my own life, just going to large events versus not so large events.
I enjoy them.
The large events, I'm not sad to leave. I'm like, I'm ready to go.
So, you know, overwhelming.
And the small ones, I'm like, ooh, who else can you connect with?
Oh, yeah.
It just feels good.
The best concerts that I've ever attended in my life were like small shows at like Robinson Auditorium or things like that. But when you get mega, it loses its je ne sais quoi.
Yep.
It just does. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well,
so it looks like our events are getting cooler, and they're getting more intimate. They're getting a lot more connected.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, some of the generations we deal with these days might not just love that.
I know. But
it looks like it took a pandemic to make it happen.
To make it happen. So. Right.
I got to be honest with you. I love your Instagram. Like, I feel like it. I tune into your Instagram as much as I tune into The Real Housewives.
Thank you.
And, well, really? Do I need to thank you for that? Because I bet you Rob would rather me tune into yours because my husband, he cannot stand The Real Housewives. He thinks it's negative. Of course, you're always Mr. Positive. You know that. It's like, if I could have a t-shirt that said Mr. Positive, that would be your t-shirt.
My mom just rolls his eyes at anything doesn't have a history base or something like that, because he's real
but
intelligent.
But I think he truthfully wants me to take lessons from you because he likes to eat. And he's like, okay, and so Xavier is like the grill master du jour. I mean, he's like fantastic. Like, you make your own rub.
Yeah, scratch.
Dill. Tell us about your own rub. Chicken, beef, all the above? Tell us about it.
Everything. I think, all right, so that comes from, everything should be authentic. We're in the South. If you're going to do barbecue or smoke anything, it needs to be pure as it can be, because one, people don't judge you for it. I don't care if it's
right.
My yes, wife is sweet as she is. She is going to judge that barbecue because she is a corner. She loves the meat. She loves she loves her veggies.
Yeah,
she's big health nut, but she loves meat. So she's going to tell me the honest truth. So the making of the rubs, I just come from research. Like, everyone who does it or who takes it serious is like, man, make your own flavor. That way you can really fine tune. You know, if everything is individualized, you can, you know, kind of take out what you don't need, put a little bit more of what you do want. So it allows me to really customize, you know, the flavor profile that I'm I'm looking for.
For the non-rub makers in the room, that would be me. tell us, and without giving away your secret, because I know that stuff's kind of guarded. What's in a rub? Like, what does it consist of as a basis?
Spices. Like, okay. All right, so, like, your basic just go in anything. Salt, pepper, garlic.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so your base is salt, pepper, garlic.
Like,
that's okay.
If you guys tune into Instagram. So, like, if I mention, like, an AP all-purpose, that goes on everything.
Okay.
The my blend part, my rub part comes in on the, I've literally spent so much time tasting salt, pepper, garlic on.
Wow.
On just about everything, to where I've kind of gotten what brand of salt to buy as a consumer, because again, I'm still a consumer, versus what salts, and you know, blending it myself. I've taken over Renata's coffee bean grinder. That's mine now. You know, getting the right, you know, coarseness from it all.
Yeah, because I don't know that all purpose is going to taste good in the percolator.
I'm trying. It is not going to taste good. It is not going to taste good in the percolator.
So she's probably glad for you to have that.
Yeah, she let me have that one. So it gives you the ability to like get it just right. Like Arkansas isn't when you mention barbecue and you mention just about every state in the South and you skip over Arkansas. Why? That's my.
Oh, I know. Because in terms of barbecue, all you ever hear about is Texas.
Texas.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Kansas City. Which is Tennessee. Hello.
Kansas City. You hear about all these neighboring states, and we just skip right all over. Even Louisiana gets...
Memphis.
Memphis.
You said Tennessee.
Yeah, Memphis and May.
But yeah.
You know, all those places get... And they're right. I mean, we're talking about 4-hour drive either way. Yes, you're going to taste some barbecue here. And there's a lot of... like unturned stones around here too, like in these little, you know, small towns. Sure. You know, Arkansas is known for small towns.
Oh, I know one. It's called Duval's Bluff. Are you from?
Yes, Duval's Bluff.
Craig's Barbecue, Rob.
Crazy.
Every time we go to Memphis, we have to pull off.
Yes, we do.
And go to Craig's.
Have to.
And he just loves it.
And we buy 5 sandwiches.
We have to. And they don't take credit cards. All they take is cash or check.
Yeah.
And if you don't have cash or check, you're out of luck.
That's it.
I love that though. That's the word. That's I'm big on history. Like that's where it's real there. You know what I mean? Like that's their like DJing is with me. That's their everything. Like if it didn't come from that place, it does not come. So I love it. I just love the community of it all for sure.
You need to do like a whole barbecue tour. And
that's the goal.
Well, you know who they think Steven looks like? Yeah. Aaron Franklin.
Aaron Franklin.
It's hilarious.
It's funny. I call you that secretly. I'm not gonna lie. I'm sure you've heard it a million times. I'd never call you. I do it. I promise. I've joined the train. I just don't. You look exactly.
They look exactly like. I mean, they were staring at us one time when we walked into Wright's Barbecue in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, they were.
And I thought, what are they looking at us like that for? Are we like aliens? And that when we finally got through the line. A guy walked up to Steven and finally confessed, and he said, "Hey, man.
We thought you were Aaron Franklin.
We thought you were Aaron Franklin." And then it all made sense.
Because
I was getting a vibe. Like, well,
and I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was like, who? I had no idea.
He's the guy.
I didn't know that he was anything. And then somebody, a good friend of ours, a coordinator, sent a picture, and she goes, "Check this out. It's uncanny." And I will say our profile.
Yeah.
It's crazy, bro.
Looks identical. It's kind of spooky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you throw
really
some black rim glasses, it's a wrap. It's kind
of, it's crazy.
Hey, X, did you get to catch his master class?
I was going to say that. I subscribe to my master's class. I watch all of those.
I do, too.
I'm such a... I learn from everything and everywhere.
That's cool, though.
I subscribe to a lot of that kind of content.
You're so cool. I love that. You really are a DJ, but moreover, an entrepreneur.
Thank you.
And I know, and it's just so great. And I know I've loved watching you grow your business and your team.
Thank you.
And every event is always so positive. And anyways, I'm just glad to know you.
Thank you. And of course, I guess I'm being the real nerd in the room. So, rubs, and then you also make...
look, you still want to go back to the food.
I'm just thinking that's so neat. It's such a neat
no
nuance
dummy.
About him. Of
no
course,
dummy.
That rub, does it sit? Does it marinate, or does it cook right away?
So, with barbecue, there's, you know, smoking, grilling, and then there's, you know, rubs and sauces. I'm not a fan of sauces. Mainly because I don't like vinegar.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of vinegar. I think that's the main reason.
Mm-hmm.
So the rub kind of gives me that... the way I apply it. It gives me the in-between. So
okay.
When it's cooked, after it's cooked, you still get the stickiness of that barbecue because mm-hmm. you have the sugars and the salts that have, you know, melted and caramelized through the smoking process. And then the juices, you know, from the protein, the meat itself, after it's wrapped. So I just, when I kind of, I don't want to say perfect it, because I'm still, every time I turn that smoker on, I'm finding something that I can tweak, change, modify. So through this process, I'm finding that, like, there's one, so many things that can go wrong, that can, you know, that can be changed. But there's just so many, just, I don't know. I just love it.
So many facets.
Nuances.
I know.
And nuances.
Nuances and stuff.
When I'm watching you on your Instagram page and you're going through, like, I've even learned from your page, like, how to let the steaks breathe.
Yeah.
I've learned how to let them rest. And you don't think I listen, but I do. It is, like, such a kind of a feat for the senses, because you show everything from the smoking process mm-hmm. to going to the Green Egg. And while we're not sponsored by Green Egg, which I wish we were.
All right.
And you should be.
I tag them every now and again, because I watch their content and it could be so much more livelier. Like, it's like, man, get somebody else. No shade on those guys, but.
Okay, I'm gonna say it. Get X to do your okay. Let's get some flavor.
You know my favorite place, even locally? They ask me to do a radio spot, or I don't care, a free day of DJing, you can tell them Townley Pool and Spa.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
Man, like, that's where I got my first egg at, and throughout the entire I got two now. they've been great. So from even having to order something or eat, man, what, being a business owner, this meant the world to me. So I got my first egg. It was around the holidays. And I decided that year, first egg, I'm going to go for the gusto. Smoking a brisket, never done it.
Oh, my God.
Never done it. Mr. Townley gave me his direct cell phone number and told me to call him on Christmas and let him know if I needed any help. Of course, I didn't bother him on Christmas, but he didn't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he told every customer that came in that day. Good for him if he did, but it meant a lot to me. So as a business owner, in, you know, I'm a small business, and I consider every business but mine a big business. So to even just extend that, you know, kind of, you know, connection, so to speak, blew my mind.
Well, because, y'all are all enthusiasts. Yeah. Anybody who cooks seems for to sure. all be an enthusiast with it.
For sure. I think you kind of have to be for the
So
time.
Why the egg? If you're going to, so why the egg?
Not my thing. So, wife.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. When she first bought me that green egg, I was mad.
What?
They're pricey.
Yeah.
I would, for somebody who never cooked, I never cooked, like, as a thing. That wasn't, I wanted to grill because that's what men do. I'm married now. Let's grill.
You know that's what I mean? Not stereotypical of you at all.
You know what I mean? Right.
No, it's real.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, got a grill. All right, so my wife was, I guess, just, you know, talking to a colleague. This is an older gentleman. He mentioned, you know, Ed, your husband, I guess she mentioned that I've been trying to grill or whatever. Burning up foods that I've been doing. So the egg, I guess, came up in conversation. He mentioned it. My wife is, I'm talking about, she is going to read. If she hears something, she's going to read. Like, she's not the YouTube watcher. She's the reader. So she had done her own research and decided she was going to buy me this egg. I was opposed to it. We're talking about, you know, almost $1,000 for something that I'm not a fan of. That's two speakers. You know what I'm saying? You know, so.
Did he just give the gear equivalent?
Yeah,
come on.
Of course. I'm like, you could have got me. I could have, and now I'm biting my tongue. I could have put those speakers to work in my mind. You'd have spent, I could have put those to work. We could have made blah, 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 boring for a Christmas gift, right? The egg, I fell in love.
Yes.
I literally fell in love, which turned into, how do I make it taste better? So that's, how do we do this rub thing? How do we fine tune it? And now I have a process that I could replicate in my sleep or teach to someone else or sell. Like, it's becoming a science, which is turning into a business. The next phase is to sell this rub, like, to
market
and, you know.
Well, you need to sell it to Rob Haney, because he is all about, he loves to watch your page.
I feel so bad for not bringing you guys in. I'll make that a priority.
Did I see you one time make a pizza
yeah.
in that egg?
Yeah, I've made breakfast on the egg.
He did like a pizzeria style dough.
Yeah, dough from scratch. I believe in at the house, if I have the time, just with everything, like put everything you got into it. Like, I want to build a car. I know nothing about building a car, but it is a goal of mine. I believe in just getting in there and, you know, learning the process and seeing the finished product, goal-oriented. I don't know.
Have you always been that dude ever since you were a kid?
My mom even tells me that. For as long as I can remember, I've always taken things apart. I've always tried to put things back together. Again, I'm a musician. Like, I'm a drummer. I went to school for it, self-taught in a sense, but I've also learned to read music as well. So as a kid, I was, you know, playing drums on pots and pans, the, you know, makeshift things. If I don't have it, we'll make it. Beating on tables, you know, figuring it out as we go until we got what we needed. You know, eventually the drum set. So it's always been a thing of mine. Like, if I'm interested in it, we'll do it at its lowest form and try to elevate it to the maximum. Yeah, so I would say so.
It sounds like you're taking everything that you do in your life and you kind of get in there, get your foot wet, and you just keep on adding to it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, and
he's build an it, onion.
Grow it.
He's got many layers.
Many layers. I like a lot of things.
Take it to the next level. Nope. Boy, that's a...
I'll take a risk in a moment.
I think that's great. Well, it's great to not be defined by one thing. You know, you're definitely the baddest DJ in the planet. But it's also, too, this other side of you, which is so cool. And I think anybody that watches your Instagram just... loves it. Number one, it's entertaining.
Thank you.
I get cracked up. There was one day you had set out on an adventure in your truck during the ice, and your friend was so excited because I don't know what the story was, if he hadn't seen anybody in a while. And
he was stuck, like, where he lived. Okay. It was impossible to get to. Like,
okay.
I think I know what you're talking about. To get up that hill.
Yes.
To get up that hill, sorry. To get up that hill was literally like, dun, 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 dun. We made it. So that was a big moment. Simplest things. Like, I find joy in the little stuff, but that was a...
It just kept me laughing. You said, listen, if you're in a two-wheel drive, or if you're in an Altima, don't get out here.
It wasn't time for that. I just wanted to let everybody... I struggled. Big Shirley is my truck.
I love Big Shirley.
Big Shirley is a Ram 2500 4x4. We're good in all terrain. I've learned. We're good. And some places, Big Shirley struggled. So I knew it was different. Mm-hmm. That snowstorm that we had was very different.
Are you kidding me? I've got a total Mercedes right now because of that stupid ice.
I will say my father's Ford Explorer.
Tried and true, four by four, rolled through
anything. I was able to get to work when we had to.
You came and picked us up.
I came and picked Robinson Air up on the side of the highway. Props to me. But seriously, I just was like, thank you, Al. It was my dad's show. And that four wheel drive was just, it was a must.
Sold.
But the sad thing is, how often do we need it here?
Not often.
Once in 100 years before we had that snow again. So
unless you're mudding or doing something like that, you know.
It is Arkansas, so
we do tend to just want to get our trucks dirty for no reason.
You country guys do. I do not. I would rather stay in and eat some good barbecue.
I'm not gonna get mud on my boots.
So I gotta ask you, and I'm not trying to put you under any pressure, but who do you like? In terms of barbecue here in Little Rock,
here,
your tops.
I like Sam's. It's a staple.
Yeah,
Sam's is like a local favorite. I'm the one that comes in that they probably don't like because I ask for no sauce, and everybody's like,
"What?"
Kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it defeats the purpose. After Sam's, there's this little it's really a food truck. Called Cool's Barbecue, that's on Barrow.
Okay.
It turns into, that's not Barrow, that's Stagecoach, actually. Stagecoach, that's pretty good. I like Wright's in Northwest Arkansas.
I like Wright's.
I'm a fan.
I like mine.
I like mine. They're all good, but mine is.
No, I get it.
You guys that do the queue, y'all are really passionate about your own product, and that's what I love. You're trying to always perfect it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's so cool. Yeah. I love that.
Well, we have definitely enjoyed catching up with DJ Xavier, and I do want you to go ahead and tell everybody your Instagram handle so they can find you and tune into those wonderful stories.
At DJ Xavier Riley. Simple. I say it simple, but my name is not the easiest to spell.
It's a cool name. It's the coolest name ever.
At DJ.
At DJ Xavier Riley.
There you go.
That's it.
He is entertaining, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you. If you couldn't already know that by listening.
Well, I got to know, though, what's on the horizon for you? What are you thinking about next?
So, never stop DJing, I don't think. So, what I'm honestly with, as it relates to DJing, I am trying to find myself in places where the bride really wants me. Okay. Because I'm finding that those brides trust me a little bit more. Nothing against just booking me, right? Just call me. I want to do, even the brides that you say, I want you to play the traditionals, you know, we can cha-cha slide all night. I'm with that too. But what I'm saying is that when I'm in those positions where the bride is like seeking for what we deliver, whether it's me, whether it's BJ, whether it's Marcus, we get to deliver the product that we know is gonna, not that we know, but we think is gonna, you know, best fit, you know, the flavors that you hired us for. You know, like you go to a particular restaurant to dine that flavor. I want the same appeal for us as DJs. You come to us for what you know you've experienced us deliver before.
Yeah.
So that makes everything a little bit more comfortable.
Well, and you use the word trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing that you know, I think back in the day you would you knew you had to have music, so you just hired a DJ and now it's at a whole new level. It is a trust factor,
right?
Because this is a male or female that you're going to be spending the one night of your life with the most.
The most important.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention now it's not a mass of 400 people that you can just hide the music behind. Now
can't
it's a curated
anymore.
Group of people.
I love it.
And you know what? Have confidence that you know it's going to work.
Cause, exactly.
Because that's what you do. You're a boutique experience.
Self-said. I love that you said that earlier.
Yeah, you're a boutique DJ. It's not about just playing those songs that everyone thinks you should play, because there are people out there that do that.
And there's I get that question a lot too. Not to cut you off, I'm sorry.
No, you're clearly not that.
Like,
so go with it.
People ask, is there like a set list that you play off of every wedding? Absolutely not. Like, there's some songs that I personally like that I know is going to fit no matter where I'm at. Like, so no, you throw those in there. But like, there are 7 days between my next event if everything is, you know, just on the up and up, right? Hopefully, I'm fortunate and blessed enough that this is the only thing I do. So I would hope that in that 7-day time span, I have dived in and done some research and can find something else to play. Or you're a DJ. We're supposed to introduce new music. New music comes out all the time. There are indie artists. There are artists that aren't signed by major labels. It's still I think I mentioned this last time. My favorite part about being a DJ is discovery. Like, go find some more music.
It's so true.
And introduce it to people, or stop calling yourself a DJ. I think that we either need to and this is our responsibility. I'm talking to myself and any other artists in the music that would be listening to, you know, this podcast. People only have these stereotypical views or these boxed ideas because we presented it to them.
Right.
Exactly. Truth.
That's so true. And, you know, judging by that, and of course, I always love finding new music through artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do this thing where you'll look up what's Adele listening to right now, or what's, you know, maybe an artist that you respect. What are they listening to?
What are they listening to?
So what I want to know is, mm-hmm. what are you listening to right now?
Right now, I'm listening to, I'm kind of all over the board. I go through these phases. My heart is in a lot of I would say soul music, and not just when you say, you know, soul, just like the oldies, but even some of the newer soul music. A lot of you can find soul music in just about any genre. I think when I say soul, it's how it makes, you know, a person feel, and you can get those vibes from, you know, house music. I can get it from country. I can get it from singer songwriter, even hip hop, and even some of the extremes, the rock and roll. But I like a lot of acoustic instrument driven sounds, and there's this. It's probably in the playlist that you guys are listening to, that the reception dinner hour, rather, that playlist. I think that's what you guys are listening to.
That's so cool.
There's this guy, he's a DJ, K-Tronada. A lot of soul there, but it's housey, you know, kind of music. I listen to a lot of heavy hip hop too.
Who doesn't?
Right? You gotta have your fix.
I don't.
You gotta get your fix. You gotta get a little gangster rap in the morning. Like
in the morning,
in the morning
time. Yeah, nothing gets your day going.
I know. I'm not on that boat. You know what?
I was listening to Rosemary Clooney the other night. Come on.
It just ain't me, boo.
Don't define me.
I get it.
But you know what? That's okay.
That's all right.
I'm gonna jam to a little bit of Charlotte Day Wilson in the morning, or I'm gonna get a little bit of that going on, or like.
Facts.
CC Winan just released a new song called "Believe for It," and it's fantastic. I just enjoy.
Same
for me. I'm a big fan too.
And I'm not like driven into that box, and I don't look condescendingly for others that don't listen to that.
It works for you.
I like to put my iPhone on the song setting and hit shuffle. Because I forget what all I've downloaded, and I find jewels that I've downloaded that are from way back. Now I have to find a way to get my Christmas off there because I have to thumb through so many of the Christmas books. Anyway,
I
just love it. I love music. I know. And Tanara and I are always, when we travel, we're always like, "What have you found new? What have you found new?"
See, we
and
do that.
We'll share the cord, and she'll go, "What have you been listening to that's new?" I'm like, "I found this. What do you think?" And
keeps you fresh. Keeps your brain working.
Yeah, we enjoy that.
I think everybody should do that from time. Even if it's not music, find something new.
Yeah.
Like, if whatever your thing is, find something new in it. There's always a new invention or something in that area. Just go, you gotta try to find it.
I love it because in my day, the way we found music was so different than how it is discovered now. And these Apple.
A lot less gas.
Yeah. That's so true. That it is more efficient. But I did love going to record stores and finding things, you know.
Still do.
You still do? Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing. We go out of town. I hit a record store.
Really?
I buy a record from. If I go anywhere new, like new city, somewhere I've never
You're
been.
You're an old soul.
Gotta find
that's
a record
cool.
store.
Yeah.
I got
that's
a lot
cool.
of records.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we have been cooking up the moves.
One of my favorites. I can't help it. I got favorites.
And hopefully you've noticed our theme. We've talked about cooking. We've talked about moves in many different ways. And we are so excited that DJ was back with us today for another installment and his life and what's going on. And
thank you.
We would please send our love to your beautiful wife and all that good stuff,
and
too.
And by the way, if you want to buy his rub, can they buy it? Can we even
buy it
on your Instagram?
Not yet. Not yet. We're missing. So this is my... So, did not know this. So, with a lot of barbecue rubs, there's, you know, sugar. Sugar can cause, you know, everything to stick, even, you know, rub. So, if you've ever, like, seen a rub or something like that, or a seasoning, and it's turned into a clump, there's a particular, I don't know what to call it, but it's almost like a seasoning itself.
Anti-caking agent.
Yes, that stops it from caking up.
Okay.
So, once I can find that piece of the puzzle... we'll be on to something.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm big on packaging too. So fine.
Not
so
you.
Are we.
Not you. I mean, we call X to find out where to order cool stickers. Cool. I really think you're a marketing genius.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
I mean, DJ and cook and barbecue.
I love that part. Thank
you.
That's honestly if I can be honest, that's the best compliment you can give me. Like, I'm cool with being a musician. I've been a musician my whole life and been a DJ, but I've worked on some skills like marketing and being an entrepreneur that thank you guys for complimenting.
Well,
I appreciate that.
You're so sweet, but it's well deserved, man. You are killing it.
Thank you.
So tune into that that Instagram for when that rub is finally ready.
Yes, please do. Please do.
And when you get enough followers, you can swipe up to purchase and all that good stuff, which you may be there already. I'm not
sure.
Hoping.
I'm getting close.
There you go.
Getting
good for you.
And do not define this guy. Listen,
that's right.
I was read an article the other day. Jay-Z just bought, or did he sell his champagne?
Sell, I believe.
He sold 50%.
Okay. Does champagne. You can do anything.
That's right.
I mean, that's crazy.
I tend to I kind of play it safe in my entrepreneurial kind of adventures. If I'm passionate in it, like if I myself can like see myself just on the simplest form working in it on a day to day, I'm going to try to turn it into something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when
you gotta believe in it.
When
that
rub sells for that kind of price, just remember we were your friends now. We had you out to our podcast now. And I'm not afraid to say I'll need a little bit of that if that happens.
I mean, he does everything. It's ribs, it's chicken, it's steak.
It's amazing.
This journey is kind of, don't look like it now. I've always been a big boy, but it's So I was also made me a little bit more health conscious too. I found myself like, one, when you're cooking with no grease or nothing's breaded, it's all just the protein or just the raw vegetable that's been charred. When it tastes so good, fresh, just like you've been to any restaurant, but it's healthier for you. So that's been, you know, like at the forefront of my brain. Like I have no qualms with being a big guy. It's more about I want to remain healthy and be here long enough to continue to do the things that I love to do. And through getting on the smoker and the grill and through falling in love with it, I've been a lot more like just conscious about, you know, what I'm eating and preparing it too. Because you can do a lot of one thing on a grill or a smoker, even on a little Weber. You'd be surprised. It doesn't have to be, you know, me. I have a preference, green egg, but you don't have to have any of that. You can use just your regular Weber and still accomplish the same thing. So it's really inspired me to eat a lot healthier and be a lot more responsible with what I cook and how much I cook.
Yeah, knowing what you're eating, the quality of food is so much less processing.
Less processing, for sure.
I love that.
Well, obviously, cheers to a healthier you and all that good stuff, too. And
maybe that'll rub into what I'm trying to do.
Just see what you did there? Maybe that'll rub in.
Yeah, see.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Cooking up the moves is DJX.
Thank y'all for having me.
Good to be here. Good to see you. Take care.
See you soon.